Good morning. Welcome everyone to the Lord's house. It's great to be able to worship with you in person and to see everyone here this morning. As always, thank you for your attention to our city and county mandates for face coverings and physical distance. We also appreciate a phone call or email to indicate which service you plan to attend, preferably by Thursday at noon, especially if you plan to switch to a different service so that we can maintain a building capacity within the city and county guidelines during our time of COVID restrictions. And thank you for letting our ushers dismiss us row by row at the end of the service to help maintain our compliance as well. And please remember that we do post the audio recording of our full service on our website each Sunday afternoon. We know there's a number of folks who can't be with us in person due to their own health concerns, so we're delighted that we can still share our services to keep connected with the other folks in our church family. And we also continue to support many of our outreach ministries where we still see a strong need during the pandemic. So even though we can't hold fellowship dinners and other events to help finance our outreach, we still do have that financial need. So please do consider your ability to support our outreach ministries with your financial contributions. So folks, welcome again to the Lord's house, and good morning, Andrew. Would you lead our call to worship?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. How great are God's riches? For all things were created by Him. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing our opening hymn, Come Christians Join to Sing, number 90, all stanzas.
For a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship in person this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're blessed to be here and to celebrate our faith through our fellowship, our worship music, and our teachings. We invite the presence of Jesus Christ into our midst as we begin our worship this morning, It is through the Holy Spirit that we feel His living presence. And it is in His name that we give thanks, and in His name that we pray. Amen. Seated.
Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to see you in the Lord's house as we're privileged once again to gather here and lift up praise to God and to see one another personally, right? We praise God for that. Yes, we do. We have a number of people to lift up in prayer today. We want to lift up Jim's father, Jim Frenthrop, as we're understanding he's at the North Kansas City Hospital, right, Jim, as he's dealing with a number of concerns regarding his breathing and some significant pain. So please remember Jim and his wife, Phyllis, through the days to come. Joyce, you are certainly in our prayers with the passing of your mother, Edith Newman, yesterday. Joyce, God bless you. It's good to see you this morning. Edith was from Holden, Missouri, 91 years of age, and passed away at a hospital in Lee Summit. So, Joyce, you, your nine brothers and sisters, and your children, Carrie and Sarah, Stephen, and all of you are in our prayers. We want to also lift up Caitlin Rodriguez. She is the 12-year-old great-granddaughter of Edna Williams. She's having back surgery this coming Tuesday, the 22nd, for scoliosis at a hospital in Houston. We want to lift up Judy Settles as she is recovering from a fractured left kneecap as she fell at her home. You know, the concrete is not very forgiving, is it? And so we lift her and Bob up in prayer. We also remember Jerry and Betty Donahue as Betty has some tests coming up and doctor visits at the KU Medical Center. There's concern about possibility of cancer for Betty. Art Kinder is now home as of last Sunday afternoon after that 2-week time that he was in rehabilitation and making very good progress. We also lift up Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston, as she is continuing to receive care for a number of health concerns, but we praise God for the Block Foundation, don't we, Ruth Ann, and everything they're able to provide. We also lift up Ken and Roxy Weaver. A week from tomorrow, Ken's going to have that right knee replacement. Remember, I was mentioning to you that Ken and Roxy are having all four knees replaced in about this 6-month time frame before the end of this year. So they're making their way through that progress, aren't they? But please, especially keep Ken in prayer with this next surgery. Ted, we're keeping you in mind in prayer, and also your nephew Jeff and Jeff's daughter there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We lift up J.C. Riddle, a friend of many in the congregation. J.C. is dealing with treatments for a type of cancer that's related to his blood. And also we want to lift up Curtis Nichols, a friend of Wanda Ekrit, who's also dealing with cancer. We lift up Pam Roberts, Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew Kent, Susan Hanks' daughter Candace, Michelle Jacobo, Lana's daughter Amy, and Debbie Davidson's father Ferris in the midst of his recovery. So just a lot of folks to be mindful of as we go to God in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to once again assemble in your house of worship. For even in the midst of our present restrictions, here in your house we find comfort. Here in your house we find spiritual fellowship with your Holy Spirit's guidance. Here in your house we find renewal through the comforting words of fellow believers. As tragic events continue to unfold before us, we often feel on edge, even if we are not personally affected. As torrential rains to the southeast have contrasted greatly with raging fires to the northwest, the absence of the sun's presence, as it has been hidden in the haze, reminds us that many in our nation are suffering. We lift up in prayer those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost homes, businesses, communities, and belongings, those who have lost jobs, and those who may feel that they have lost hope. Yet, through all such trials, O God, may we remember that even as the universe continues to expand with a multitude of galaxies beyond our comprehension, we know that you are unchanging and always in charge. Psalm 90, verse 2 reminds us that you are from everlasting to everlasting, as James 1, verse 17 tells us that you are the one who has no variation or shadow of turning. In you we find constancy, and as your Son Jesus came into the world to live as one of us, your genuine love for us has become known in a most personal way. Thus, in the midst of life's challenges, we take the hand of our Lord Jesus as we also clasp the hands of one another in fellowship and in love. And we will find our way as Christ guides us. For Christ has told us, as it is written in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For this certainty, we give you thanks, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Folks, even though we don't have a full choir up here, I think they did a pretty good job of filling a place with their voices. What a blessing you all are. Thank you again. While we cannot physically gather at the table today, nor can we pass the communion elements of bread and wine, we do find meaning during this time of our service in our community reflection. May we turn to the bottom of the first inside page of our bulletins. No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. He was preached among the nations, was believed in throughout the world, and was taken into heaven. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of contemplation is number 108, Lift High the Cross, stanzas 1 and 4.
Scripture text I'd like to share with you this morning. This is 1 Timothy. Of course, you know it's going to be a third chapter, right? Because it's got to be a 3:16 verse. But it's verses 14 through 16. As I write this letter to you, Paul says, I hope to come and see you soon. But if I delay, this letter will let you know how we should conduct ourselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. He appeared in human form, was shown to be right by the Spirit, and was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in throughout the world, and was taken up into heaven. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful and gracious God, we are indeed grateful once again to be in your house, to hear from your word, to be able to understand its meaning for us as we journey forward with the new day, to be in fellowship with fellow believers, that we may indeed find great strength, renewal, and hope in the presence of one another and through the blessing of your Spirit. Guide us this day and always. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to his young friend, pastor and evangelist Timothy from Asia Minor. One of the reasons Paul wrote this letter was to help Timothy correct among his people some of the false teaching that was being dispersed throughout the first century church. This false teaching centered on the idea that the physical world was evil and that one could attain salvation through special secret knowledge and practices such as avoiding certain foods and not marrying were the way to that avenue of salvation. As Paul hopes to see Timothy and yet realizes that his schedule and travels always have a level of uncertainty about them, he writes to the young pastor to give him instructional advice to help him combat this false teaching. As he writes again in our text, "As I write this letter to you, I hope to come and see you soon. But if I delay, this letter will let you know how we should conduct ourselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion." Now, here Paul uses the word secret, not because he thinks there's anything secret about the Christian faith, for there is not. For we know that the gospel message was shared by Christ throughout all humanity, throughout the world. But what Paul is doing here is he's putting a play on words, a play on the fact that these false teachings were saying that there was something secret about their religion. But here, Paul is saying no one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. In other words, we've got the right message. That's what he's basically saying. And then Paul breaks into the normal routine of his writing by inserting something special, much like we've already seen Paul do, even in some of the 3:16 texts that we've already explored. Do you remember the message about Ephesians 3:16? We know that this was a prayer that was inserted into the text for the church in Ephesus. Again, as we recall that text, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 16, "For this reason," Paul writes, "I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name." And in that prayer he says, "I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you the power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves." Possibly you remember how we broke down the various elements of that text to find the depth of meaning Paul was conveying in those words. And as I also mentioned in that message from the book of Ephesians, Paul also, in his 13 letters that are recorded in the New Testament, either breaks into his writing with a prayer or makes references to prayer 41 times. So it goes to show you how important prayer was for Paul, much as it was for Jesus and the discipline of his faith, right? But here in 1 Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul breaking into his writings with what is called a doxology. Big long word, isn't it? Now, what does that mean? What's a doxology? Like one time when I went to another church, I asked them, I said, "Well, do you all use the lectionary?" And they said, "What's a lectionary?" Well, when they said that, I knew I'd come home. Because I didn't want to have to use the lectionary text, you see. What's a lectionary? What's a doxology? Big words. But really, what a doxology is a simple composition of poetic words to be sung as a song. Several portions of Scripture were originally composed as short songs. You have to remember that in this time, there was no mobile phone. There was not a lot of written material. If you wanted to remember something, you had to memorize it. Remember that? Remember memorizing? You know, we've become so reliant on our phone. I can't even tell you what my son's phone number is. Can you? Do you know what the phone numbers are in your thing? If we lose our mobile phones, we're absolutely lost today because we don't have anything upstairs. We don't remember much. Well, again, in biblical times, the only way you could keep something within yourself was to memorize it. And one of the best ways to memorize something is to have a song, a little ditty, right? To help you remember whatever the context is, correct? And so that is what happens even in the scriptures. There are actually 185 songs inserted in the Old and New Testament text. Among those songs are chapters such as Exodus chapter 15 or Revelation 15, or the Song of Solomon is the longest song in the Bible, and the book of Psalms is essentially a hymn book of songs. And here the song Paul inserts into 1 Timothy is our major portion of the verse of 3:16 in 1 Timothy. Once again, it is a poetic arrangement of words, and the music would have made sense to Paul and the people of his time. Now again, however, in our English translation, that poetic nature is lost. It's lost in the change of language and lost in the fact that there's no musical staff or notes to help us out, is there? Here in this doxology, Paul expresses fundamentals of the Christian faith, fundamental beliefs that when sung by the people of the first century church, this helps them to reinforce their basic beliefs. And so the song here in our 3:16 verse for today, it states, "He appeared in human form, was shown to be right by the Spirit, and was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in throughout the world, and was taken up into heaven." This doxology is likely one of the earliest Christian hymns known to us. We are not sure if Paul devised the words of this song or whether someone else did and he picked it up from someone else. But what we do know is that Paul wanted Timothy and others to use this simple song to help the early believers affirm, reaffirm, and remember the fundamentals of their faith. Now, like in so many other songs, sometimes the words may not be as exact as you would like, for example, for a creed to be. A creed is simply a statement, so you can work really, really hard coming up with precise words that you want your creed to state. However, in a song, sometimes you use certain words so that you have a rhyme, correct? You know what the meaning is, but it may not be the best way to state it, but it is the best way to do what? To sing what it is that you mean. I think a way that you and I can relate to this is we can remember, for example, a song that we teach our youngest among us so that they may know of God's great love. And what is that song? I'm not going to sing it, but you know the words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Now, what do you have into that very brief song? You have repetition of words over and over. Yes, Jesus loves me, right? So that again, a child remembers. You have some fundamental belief that you want the child to not only comprehend, but truly take within their heart, right? So that's a way it fits for you and me. This doxology wasn't meant to be have the precision of a creed. It was designed to communicate those fundamental beliefs. And so what were the beliefs that Paul wanted Timothy to share with all the believers of his church? And especially so that these false teachings could be squelched and people could center on what was most important about the Christian faith. First line, the belief was, he appeared in human form. This is Christ's incarnation. Jesus came from God, came from God's heavenly realm, and became one of us in human form. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The second phrase was shown to be right by the Spirit. Some texts use was vindicated by the Spirit. This is actually the assurance of Christ's resurrection as affirmed by the Holy Spirit. Many people doubted Jesus' teaching and his claims to be the Messiah. But by the power of the Holy Spirit within Christ, we know that many great miracles occurred before the very eyes of those who observed them. And foremost among the miracles was not only the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain, or even Lazarus rising from his tomb, but rather it was Christ's own resurrection from the grave. Christ is vindicated. He is shown to be correct by the power of his resurrected form, seen by his followers, made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the third belief, and was seen by angels. Christ was seen by angels. Well, we read that and we think, well, what's so important about that? Well, this is again Christ's appearances affirming the truth that not only had humans seen Christ, but all the heavenly realm saw Christ and everything that he achieved. Now, you have to understand that it was believed in this period of time that both angelic beings of God and demonic beings of Satan roamed the earth. Of course, the angelic ones were about the business of doing good. The evil ones, about doing the bad and wreaking havoc among the people. Yet this portion of the doxology is claiming that not only would it have Christ's miracles and proclamation been seen by humans, but the reality of Christ is even seen by the spiritual beings, both good and evil. Thus, there is no denying what Christ has done and who he is. The fourth belief, he was preached among the nations. This is the belief that Christ's gospel is proclaimed to all nations throughout the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we know the church started out with about 120 followers. Yet, as the 70 years of the first essence of the church continued forward, the gospel was shared throughout all the known world of that time. Fifth, was believed throughout the world. This is the belief that Christ's followers reside throughout the world. Today, Christianity is known the world over. It is still the largest faith group in the entire world. It is professed by 2.3 billion people, consisting of 31% of all religious beliefs throughout the world. 31% may not sound like a lot, but it is still the largest percentage of any faith group in the entire world. Sixth, and was taken up into heaven. You know, in so many messages during the Easter season, I've emphasized to you that Christ's resurrected form was the turning point, not only for Jesus' disciples, but even also for Jesus' siblings. You know, we have the sense that they didn't quite get the message. They didn't quite really believe that maybe Jesus was, in fact, the true Messiah. Until he appeared in his resurrected form, able to show the wounds from the crucifixion, and yet there he stood before them, whole, and in such a spiritual form that he could even walk through doors and yet still partake of food like anyone else. What an amazing thing it would have been to have experienced Christ in that way, right? Absolutely. He was then, however, after he was resurrected, he dwelt among them for 40 days, and then he ascended into the clouds. And we know that his ascension is proof that the resurrection is real, it was not an illusion, and that he was bound for the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. After the Lord Jesus had talked with them, he was taken up to heaven and sat at the right side of God. The story of Jesus began in heaven and it ends in heaven. Our spiritual essence began in heaven and will end in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus says, "When I go, you will not be left alone. I will come back to you." And in John 14, verse 3, he says, "I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am." So you see, we have yet another 3:16 verse well worth remembering and to add to our understanding of the Scripture. Again, 1 Timothy 3:16. "No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. He appeared in human form, was shown to be right by the Spirit, and was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in throughout the world, and was taken up into heaven." Now, Paul tells us in the first portion of this verse that no one can deny the truths of our faith. Some versions state this portion of the text by writing, "As everyone must confess, great is the secret which God has revealed to us in our religion." As everyone must confess, as everyone must believe. And although we cannot sing the words of this doxology because that's lost to us, as did those early Christian believers, we can affirm the fundamental truths that are expressed in this doxology. And so I've tried to write it out in a form that I think makes sense for us. We believe that Christ came into the world, was resurrected from the dead, appeared before us, and preached God's word. Many people believed in him as we do now. And we know that on Ascension Day, Christ's presence rose into the heavens as we await the day in which we too will share in the glory of God's heavenly realm. Even in the most trying of uncertain times, as 2020 has certainly been on so many fronts, this we can believe, right? And so I ask you, do you truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you claim these principles deep within the depths of your heart so that you know with certainty where this destiny is for you in Christ? I welcome you to consider accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, "My Hope Is Built," I believe I've got the number right this week. It's 537 in the paperwork, isn't it? 537. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, "My Hope Is Built."
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Certainly is a joy to see each of you in the Lord's house, and we do wish you the very best. As you step forward into the new week, may you do so with the great assurance of God's great love for you. May we pray. Merciful and holy God, as we depart, your Spirit does dwell among us, and for this we give thanks, for we know that we truly find great hope, assurance, and peace as we step forward into the days ahead. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Heaven's joys, oh bright heaven's sun.